This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back to Sunday Skate, Hour 2. I'm your host, Scott McLaughlin, with Richard Crew. You just heard from Andrew Razor Raycroft on the phone. And that was Brad Marchand on the What Chaos podcast with our friends DJ Bean and Pete Blackburn. Getting asked about the possibility of getting traded, which I know Razor doesn't think Marchand will be traded. And right before the Bruins went on break, Emily Kaplan, during a Bruins game that was broadcast on ABC, said that she had heard from other teams that they don't expect Marchand to get traded, but it is something that could be a possibility if things go south here coming out of the break, because he is a pending, unrestricted free agent. It seems like it should be pretty easy to work out a contract if both sides want to do that and make Marchand a Bruins lifer, but it hasn't gotten done yet. So as long as it's not done, I think that question has to be asked.
Yeah. And you hear his answer to what I think is, like, it's really funny, DJ, just like, how would you feel if you got traded? It's like, pretty obviously, he seems like a guy that doesn't want to go anywhere. So yeah. And you hear him say, I'd be lost. And one of the things that we've talked about on our podcast is that would the Bruins actually break that relationship and, like, not show it the respect that it deserves by doing something like that and trading him away? And he's a legend at this point. I mean, he's been part of the centennial celebrations. He's been honored in a lot of different ways with the organization as one of these guys that are just going to be in the history always. And to move him would be a slap in the face. And it would be a business move, obviously. And at the end of the day, that's what this is. But it would break the code, I guess you could say, of how you treat your players that are, you know, he's the captain and he's been here for so long.
Yeah, that's where it would get really complicated and messy. Because if it was a situation, like use the Ray Bourque comparison, where the player wants to go chase a Stanley Cup somewhere else in, you know, the final years of his career. Like,
which I think Sidney Crosby should do. I think it's right about time that he's got to.
He
doesn't want to.
Probably should, yeah, but he doesn't want to. And again, based on that answer that Marchand gave to What Chaos, like, doesn't sound like that's something he's interested in. You know, maybe he's just playing it close to the vest and not sharing his true feelings, because obviously if there is any chance he wants to get traded, like, he's not going to say that. You can't do that as captain
of the
team. I
don't sense that at all, but yeah, and obviously if he gets traded, it would be to a contender this year.
Right.
Because there nobody else, you're not trading, you know, one of your best players to a team that's rebuilding. This is that would be a move with a contender that needs him, wants him for their cup run this year.
Yeah, and so, like, the business logistics of it are he has an 8-team no trade list, so technically there are 23 teams you could trade him to without his permission, but my guess is most likely Don Sweeney and Bruins management are going to treat that like a full no trade. Like, I have a hard time imagining he'd be traded without his approval. But they have not said that. Like, we haven't gotten that declaration from Don Sweeney like the Nashville Predators did with Ryan O'Reilly. They said they are treating his contract like he has a full no trade and he would not be dealt without his approval. You know, so again, as long as it's a little open-ended and there's questions there, there's going to be talk. Let's go to the phones here. Let's take Tom in Boston. What's up, Tom?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking my call and welcome back. You guys were wondering why the Canadian goalies, the best ones, the ones that they have that are best, aren't on the team. And the answer is Don Sweeney's a bad GM. The guy is stuck in the past. I don't think it's a coincidence that he picked Pennington, the team that beat him, the guy that beat him 6 years ago. And another example of this is he's been chasing Elias Lindholm for half a decade, a guy who's been getting worse every year since he stopped playing with two elite players. Same thing with Zadorov, a guy who was good a couple years ago, but it's now too expensive. I just think the game has maybe passed on Sweeney by, and I don't think he should be making any big decisions for the team in the where they have to, you know, decide what their future is going to be. Thanks for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, Tom. So, obviously, it's Don Sweeney potentially stuck in the past. I will say, as it relates to Canada's goalies, the roster picking in general happened months ago that they announced the final rosters. And with goaltending especially, there is that really difficult balancing act where are you taking guys with a track record, even if maybe at that time they hadn't had the greatest first month of the season? Like, now we're, you know, 4 months into the season, and it feels like we have this big sample size this year of which goalies are performing and which ones aren't. At the time the rosters were announced in November, you're talking a month, month and a half. So you're doing some projecting there. And yeah, it would be fair to say that Sweeney went with guys who had track records over multiple years rather than guys who were off to a hot start, like Logan Thompson. Where it looks questionable is that some of those guys like Binnington and Aiden Hill haven't really completely turned their seasons around, and Logan Thompson has stayed at a very high level. Like, he didn't come back to earth or back to previous performance. So that's on the Team Canada front. On the Bruins front, we'll get to, but Bridget, I don't know if you had any thoughts there.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think what Tom was saying is that Don Sweeney wasn't good at projecting what the future was going to be for those goalies. And as well as adding in Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov, not being able to foresee what they would be with Boston this year when he was looking at them in the offseason as options. And maybe he overinflated or overvalued those guys, and maybe he did something similar with Team Canada. But I will say it should be the easiest job in the world to put together Team Canada with the amount of salary like that is on that team. And it's just most of those picks are no-brainers. And like we talked about with Razor, there weren't as good of goalie options available to them as with some of the other countries, especially the U.S. So,
and also Bruce Cassidy and Pete DeBoer, there's a report out by BR Open Ice last week that they didn't want Logan Thompson to be on Team Canada. And obviously there's a Don Sweeney angle in there somewhere too.
Yeah, and Bruce Cassidy and Pete DeBoer both coached Logan Thompson in Vegas. I believe DeBoer was there when
he was.
Obviously Bruce Cassidy was. So, yeah, so maybe there's something personal there where that wasn't even really Sweeney's decision, or he's, you know, he's taking input from coaches. But no doubt
Logan Thompson's having fired.
Logan Thompson's having a great season in Washington, though. Yeah, so, you know, bring this around to Bruins. Look, obviously it's the number one thing that you can criticize Don Sweeney for this season is that the Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov signings have not panned out so far. Certainly not in year one. If you're the Bruins, you're you're locked into those contracts and you have to hope that it starts to look better in time. But in year one, they have not made the impact that they were hoping for. They were hoping that Elias Lindholm, no one expected him to be like one of the very high-end elite centers. Like, he's not that, and I don't think they expected that. But they thought he would be an upgrade at number one center from what they had. They thought he would be an upgrade over Pavel Zaka and Charlie Coyle. And he hasn't been. Pavel Zaka's definitely been better than him this season. And Lindholm and Charlie Coyle have kind of been in the same boat of not matching past production. Neither one even really putting up points like a number two center. We've seen both drop down to the third line at times. And Nikita Zadorov, you know, it's been up and down. I think he was starting to play some better hockey before the break, but there's been plenty of down moments from him this season. And, you know, penalties have been an issue. So it hasn't transformed this team. Like, those were moves made with the playoffs in mind. They wanted a center they thought could match up better against your Alexander Barkovs and Austin Matthews of the world. They wanted a defenseman who could withstand a heavy forecheck from a team like Florida that could clear out the front of the net when guys like Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett are crashing in on your goalie. Well, the Bruins, as things stand right now, might not even be good enough to get to the playoffs. So those guys might not even get a chance to prove it in that setting. Like, you need them. Here's the thing. You can build a team with the playoffs in mind, but you have to win in the regular season. You have to get there. And this Bruins team is fighting for their life and inviting conversation about selling pieces off and not completely throwing in the towel, but essentially turning the page to next season.
Yeah, there's two more calls on here. Do we have time to take another one right now? Because I'm very intrigued by George's...
Yeah, I think this might spark a bigger conversation. So we do have to get a break, but George, I know you've been on for a while, so we will get to you right after this break. We are back with more Sunday.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Skate next. Welcome back to Sunday Skate. I'm Scott McLaughlin with Bridget Prue. We're just watching a little bit of old school during the break. So.
Will Ferrell has been on behind Scott. Yeah. It's been very distracting. The scene where he's streaking to the quads.
Yeah. That's not a good day for streaking here.
No, definitely not. And actually, just check Twitter, and my friend Molly Walker, who's an NHL reporter, said that her flight from Montreal to Boston got canceled because of the storm. And now I believe, I mean, she's probably not the only one that is heading from Montreal to Boston, having to drive through this storm. And it's terrible. Like, it goes, that whole drive is snow right now.
I'm envious of everyone who was at the game last night. I'm not envious of people trying to get down to Boston.
Yeah, that changes how I feel about not being there. Honestly.
All right, I promised George in the car that we would get to him, so let's go to George right now. George, it says you're in the car. I hope you're staying safe out there.
Hey, good. How about you guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I had one big question. It would shake up the whole team. I would trade Pasternak for Brady Tkachuk. Would you guys do it?
All right, thanks, George. This is an idea that comes up every now and then. Has been popular with certain radio hosts in Boston. I almost think, like, whether I would do it is secondary because it's not going to happen. Like, here's the thing. That was maybe on the table when Ottawa was struggling with their rebuild, and there had been times where Brady Tkachuk seemed a bit unhappy there. When he was up for an extension, if people remember a couple years ago, that actually – almost in Jeremy Swayman-esque fashion, dragged into the season. I think he signed just before opening night, very similar to Swayman. And there had been rumors that he might not want to commit to Ottawa long term. Well, Ottawa's in playoff position now. Like, the worst of their rebuild is, they hope, done. They have a better team. So whether or not, I mean, look, I'd consider anything. So sure, you can throw it on the table. I just don't see why Ottawa would do that.
I mean, it's their captain. That's, you know, Brady Tkachuk is a completely different player than Pastrnak as well. I think that's probably the main appeal when you hear people talking about it, is how tough he is and how, like, he would be a big bad Bruin for sure. I mean, he played at BU. There's connections to Boston for him in his past. And so that's why this name comes up. And yeah, he's an entertaining player. He's a good player. Him and Pastrnak are opposites in a lot of ways, where Pasta's like European and doesn't fight and isn't, you know, someone who's running around.
He fought in the playoffs last year.
He did, and guess who he fought? His brother, Tkachuk. That's who he fought. But it's, yeah, I don't think it, the reason why it's hard to even have the discussion is because I don't think that Brady Tkachuk is leaving Ottawa, and I don't think the Bruins intend on having Pastrnak go anywhere either. So, and that would be such a huge trade. That's two big names. And with Pastrnak being on pace to maybe be the best goal scorer in franchise history in over 100 years, like, it would be hard to see them, especially with the contract that they gave him recently, moving on from him at any point. He's probably a Bruin for life.
Yeah, and he has a full no-movement clause, so he would have to agree to it, which also brings in, like, why would David Pastrnak want to get traded to Ottawa? I guess if you're exploring it, like, you can do the old kind of push him out. Like, if he's not welcome here anymore, go somewhere where he's going to feel more welcome. But, yeah, I mean, the other place, like, where this trade comes from is that I think there's this fantasy that it would just be the Bruins' way to duplicate what Florida did, right? Like, they traded a superstar
in the other Tkachuk.
They traded a star winger in Jonathan Huberdeau to get one of the Tkachuks, and then they won a Stanley Cup 2 years later. The idea is, like, you trade away your star winger, get the other Tkachuk, and you'll win a Stanley Cup 2 years later. And I just don't know that's that simple. Like, Brady Tkachuk and Matthew Tkachuk are also different players. Like, Matthew Tkachuk, I think, has more offensive skill. Brady Tkachuk is actually probably more physical and definitely more of a fighter. Like, he's actually a really good fighter. Matthew Tkachuk will do it at times, but even by his own admission, is not great at it. But yeah, you're looking for, like, that different culture that a Tkachuk brings, and that is what they have in common. We've seen it with Team USA. Like, you throw them on the same line, and it changes that first game against Finland. They start off the second game by dropping the gloves. Like, Brady Tkachuk has been throwing big hits left and right. We talked about McAvoy and McDavid, but the hit that Brady Tkachuk threw on Drew Doughty last night on the forecheck, like, that was, like, one of the louder sounding hits I've heard in a while, where Doughty just gets slammed to the glass, and it's, like, just rattling, shaking, like, loud through the television. I totally get the appeal of Brady Tkachuk. I love him as a player. I don't think that trade is happening. I don't even think it's remotely realistic, because I don't know why Ottawa would want it. I don't know that Brady Tkachuk really wants to leave there anymore, like he might have at times during the rebuild. And I certainly don't think David Pastrnak wants to leave Boston.
Yeah, and if he has this, you know, which he does, have it in his contract, a say in what happens, where he could possibly get traded, you know, he has a family here now. And yeah, I think he would want to stay. Do you want to take our other call from Steve?
Let's go to Steve in Fall River. Steve, what are your thoughts as it relates to the Bruins in this upcoming trade deadline?
How far are they out of the playoffs?
A point or two. They are right there.
So if they make the playoffs, they will have achieved what the President's Cup winning team achieved. They'll have a chance to lose in the first round. Why exactly? And so obviously you buy and you try to get better as much as you can. You don't do anything crazy. You don't pay more than you should, but you play the season out. I reject the fact that you can make a determination at seven games. There's 82 games in the season. There's X amount of games left. What the seven games after the Four Nation tournament is going to have on this season, how are you going to – I hope the Bruins aren't looking at it. Well, these next seven games are going to determine what we're going to do for the entire season. That's called insanity. It's talk radio. It's good for talk radio. You have this other guy calling out to Trey Pastrnak. Here's a rule of thumb you have. Never trade your highest scoring player, because guess what? You cannot win a playoff game unless you score a goal. Never trade your number one scorer. That is on Sunday, that's a commandment one in the NHL. So there you go. They're 1 point out from achieving what a President's Cup team did for the entire year. Here's the other thing, commandment two. Wait for the last 2 weeks of the season. See what the health is of your team. See how the mojo's going. And make sure you're getting good goaltending. And then you will know. Only then will you know what your chances are in the playoffs. Seven games after the All-Star, after the Four Nations break, it's just a little window into the world. You don't make big decisions based on it. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve. So a couple things there I agree with, a couple I don't. So let's start with it. Just keeping on Pastrnak for 1 second. Generally, yeah, I agree. Like, don't trade away your best player. Like, this, the Bruins have had trouble scoring goals this season. David Pastrnak has led the NHL in points since January 1st. Like, don't take that for granted. By the way, he also generally produces in the play. I know people like to rip him for his playoff performance for some reason. Generally, David Pastrnak produces. Like,
I think he saved Jim Montgomery's job last year with a goal in game seven.
The year before, in game six and seven against Florida, he scores a go-ahead goal in the third period. Is it his fault the team couldn't hold on to the lead? Like, I don't put that on him.
No.
Either one of those would have been huge goals that would have helped the Bruins advance that year. Don't take that for granted. Like, David Pastrnak is a special player, and no one should be in a rush to try to get rid of him, even as appealing as Brady Tkachuk might be. Brady Tkachuk's never going to put up the point totals and goal totals that Pastrnak does. Second thing, on using these seven games to determine your direction at the deadline. I think I do agree with that, but for a different reason. Like, for me, that's why I'm pretty committed at this point to not a full sell-off. I'm not a tear-it-down person, but a smart sell-off. Like, even Razor said, figure out who's not going to be here next year or who you don't want here next year and get something for them. Like, because to me, there is just nothing to cling to. I'll run through the numbers in a minute, but there's nothing to cling to through these 57 games that makes me think that this team is like some sleeping giant that's ready to emerge at some point, or that still has the looks of a team that can make a deep run.
Yeah. And so my thought is, like you said, and like Razor alluded to, the guys that you identified, and this is something that Don Sweeney said a long time ago, when he fired Jim Montgomery at that press conference. You know, we're identifying guys that want to be here, and we're going to get rid of the guys who don't seem like they want to be here. And if you have identified those people, maybe that's who you move on from at the deadline, or you move on from the guys who are on expiring contracts. Maybe they're one and the same. And that means somebody like Trent Frederick, who's in the final year of his contract, wasn't able to come to an extension yet. Could be somebody that they move, and he could be a valuable player for someone in a playoff run if he can go back to being the Trent Frederick that he was last playoffs, where he was actually bringing offense and checks. And I mean, you know that the Bruins aren't going to get as much for him as they would have last year. And Coach Sacco said, hey, when Frederick scored the other day, you know, hey, he had a good game. When he's moving his legs, he's good. But it was one of those backhanded compliments, but he hasn't been doing that. So that's a guy that I see as an easy one to move on from, probably the right time, and you get something for him, whereas if he goes to the offseason, you lose him in free agency, you get nothing.
Yeah, and as far as potentially buying, I'll say this, and I've said on the Skate podcast, so Bridget, this will sound familiar. I'm not opposed to buying, but what I'm not doing is I'm not trading any valuable assets for a rental.
No, that, definitely
that kind
not
of trade
the year
should
for
not
that.
Be on the table. If you can identify someone with some term who's going to be part of your team for the next 2, 3, 4 years, that I'm open to. But no rentals, no short-term fixes. Because here's some numbers I want to go through. Bridget, stop me when I get to a number that makes you think this team could go on a deep playoff run. 25th in goals scored. 24th in goals allowed. 30th on the power play. 25th on the penalty kill. 20th in team shooting percentage. 24th in team save percentage. 23rd in Corsi, which is percentage of shot attempts at 5-on-5. 22nd in expected goals percentage. Anything? Any of those jump out at you?
I was waiting. Do you have any more? Anything else? Get power play, you know, it's all rough, and nope. It's true. And that's
22nd in high danger chances created. Here's a good one. 14th in high danger chances allowed. That's top half of the league.
Technically, yeah. It is. Technically. I mean, they're minus 25 goal differential this year. Yeah, it's not good. And they're outside of the playoffs right now, and they're in a race that is really tight. I mean, if you look at the teams that are just outside, they're tied with Columbus. They both have 60 points. Then there's the Rangers. Then there's the Islanders. And even the Canadiens aren't that far out of it. And the Penguins are both only 5 points behind the Bruins. So, and then the two teams that are in the wild card right now are Ottawa and Detroit, and they're only separated by 1 point and 2 points. So there's a lot of teams going for that same two wild card spots. And I don't know. I don't know what separates the Bruins at this point from those teams. Obviously, you want to see them invest and make the right move and get someone that could be a fit here for a longer time. But I'm not sure if that's going to come to fruition. It really depends on what the market is for some of those guys, because there might be other teams in this group that I just mentioned that are targeting the same people, and maybe they're thinking, they're more solidly thinking buy than the Bruins are.
Yeah, I think Columbus's general manager already said they're buyers, like they're looking to add. If you're the Bruins, I think like the only thing you could cling to is that your guys have done this down the stretch. They've made the playoffs. They've gone on runs. Like they know what it takes to win this time of year as you're coming down the stretch, playing big games. And maybe you look at, you know, teams, I would say especially Detroit, Ottawa, Columbus, as teams that haven't done this, haven't even sniffed the playoffs in years. So maybe they fold under the pressure. But, like, that's really wishful thinking in my mind. Like, because the trade-off there is those are teams that are also going to be highly energized by being in a playoff race.
Yeah, like to them, this is great that they're in the conversation.
They're pumped. Like, this is what they've been. Some of these guys have been waiting. We mentioned Brady Tkachuk. Like, this is what he's been waiting years for in Ottawa, to play meaningful games in March and April and try to make the playoffs. So, and that's gonna be the attitude on all those teams. Whereas, like, I think the Bruins, they still have to, like, mentally get over the fact that the season isn't going the way they want, because they're the ones where it feels like there's such, and a lot of it's media fans, but like there's like this negative energy. Their coach got fired. Like that's a bad thing to happen to your team in season. So they have to combat that. Like, in addition to whether they're good enough or winning games against these other teams on the bubble, like they also have to try to find a way to beat energized and excited like some of these other teams are going to be. And you can't really fake that. Like, either you are or you're not. And if you're kind of moping around, like, disappointed that the season's not going the way you want, then it's not going to end the way you want either.
Yeah, and you heard Razor say you kind of just have to treat Hampus Lindholm as if he's your addition, because he's going to be coming back right around the same time as the trade deadline. And he, ironically, was added at the trade deadline a few years ago. And he's a big addition, if you think, like, if to get him back is big. He, at the time that he got injured, was probably your best defenseman. He was playing really well. If he comes back and he's healthy, and him and McAvoy, and say McAvoy comes out of this Four Nations and he's, you know, he's really feeling it, put those two together, they're locking things down, they're helping the offense, maybe they're making the power play actually do something, then you could see that they might have that last push to get into the playoffs. Like, I'm convinced that they will look a lot better with Lindholm back. And so that changes what we've been seeing over the past several months since he's been out. He's been out since November. So, you know, I'm at least optimistic that even if they don't add at the trade deadline, that is going to be a push in and of itself to get them where they need to go to beat out those teams that I just listed, like Columbus, like Detroit, like Ottawa.
Yeah, Hampus Lindholm can definitely help, especially if he's playing the way that he was up until that injury. Now, he's coming back from a serious injury. Like, it also might take him some time to get back up to speed, and it might not even happen this season. So, like, there's also risk there in banking on that. The Bruins they've played it safe. They hope he's going to be 100% or close to it, but, like, he had a fractured bone in his knee. Like, that's it's a pretty serious injury, and there's going to be a level of being uncomfortable dealing with that.
You and I have both had knee surgeries. We know it's not fun.
No, it is not. all right, we gotta hit a break.
Wait, I want to read one text before we go to break. It says, from the 9108, it says, what reception will Matthew Tkachuk get at TD Garden? I think good. Like, I don't think he's going to get booed, do you? I mean,
I'm really interested. I think it's going to be a little bit Marchand-esque in Montreal, which is like he's going to do something good and get cheered. And then at some point, like, his name gets announced, he's probably going to get some boos. I think you'll hear some boos.
Yeah, but during the game, like when he's got the puck, like, you know, when he's possessing, that's what I'm wondering if there'll be enough. I mean, there'll be some.
I think it's more of a Team USA crowd than a Bruins crowd.
I think so too. Although, like, that would explain the insanely high ticket prices, because these are people who are probably, a lot of them are probably traveling for this. And unfortunately for them, traveling today, you know, like, in this terrible weather. And we're sorry if you're coming up from Florida and this is what you're dealing with. You're never going to want to come back to Boston again. But
I don't know. I'm kind of like, I think it's going to be a lot of locals. Like, I don't know if it's going to be that national or.
Well, we will find
international
out.
Of the crowd. Yeah, we will. Okay, we do have to catch a break here, but we'll be. You can still give us a call. We can maybe squeeze you in. 617-779-7937. Text us 37937. We will be back right after this to wrap up Sunday Skate. Welcome back to Sunday Skate. That is something I don't think you hear during an NHL game. Matthew Tkachuk giving Charlie McAvoy props for
saying he's like the best player.
Yeah, he said he led the way on the blue line, so the rest of the team followed in his lead. Yeah, it's been a very good tournament for Charlie McAvoy so far.
And that hit that he's referring to has just been making the rounds. Everybody's, you know, reposting it from this area. I'm going through my friends' Instagram stories and Twitter, and everyone's just retweeting, reposting this big hit by Charlie McAvoy on Connor McDavid. If you haven't seen it yet, it's probably pretty easy to find. But it was a big defining moment of that game in the first period.
Yeah, and he had another big one on McDavid, too, that I think is like has been and will be overshadowed, because this is the one that's going viral, and this is the one where the U.S. scores later in the shift. So for that purpose, it is definitely the more important one. But he knocked McDavid down again, like, maybe even the same period, first period, or it might have been early second. But, yeah, he had a couple of those, as I mentioned earlier. 5 hits, which would tie his season high with the Bruins this year. I think it's probably worth quickly touching on here in our last few minutes the other Bruins who are playing in this tournament. Jeremy Swayman obviously has not played. He is USA's third string goalie, so Hellebuck has played every minute so far. We would think that even if the U.S. gives Hellebuck a break Monday night in a game that they don't need to win, it would be Jake Ottinger, not Jeremy Swayman. So my expectation is still that Swayman's not going to play. Brad Marchand and Elias Lindholm are both there. Marchand scored a big goal in Canada's first game. They're what ended up being an overtime win against Sweden. Marchand scored the second goal, finishing off a nice rush. You know, he's playing lower in the lineup here. He's in a third or fourth line role on Saturday against the U.S. It was really a fourth line role. He finished with under 10 minutes of ice time. You know, he's not there to be one of the leading scorers like he was on the 2016 World Cup of Hockey team. That was 9 years ago in his prime when he was playing on a line with Sidney Crosby and Patrice Bergeron. He is really the elder statesman of Team Canada now. And
score in the first game.
Yeah, and trying to carve out a role for himself, not just for this tournament, but to make the Olympics next year. Because Brad Marchand has never gone to the Olympics. The NHL skipped the 2 years that he would have been a lock, mm-hmm. 2018 and 2022. You know, so he's trying to carve out kind of an identity checking type role on this team.
And a comedian.
Yes, and the comedic relief, which we saw, if anyone saw the mic'd up segment of him walking into Canada's locker room after their win against Sweden, he's calling himself a fan, he's ribbing Sidney Crosby a little, saying he's making dangerous plays and he was almost offside, so.
I think it was Swayman that said, you know, I'd fill water bottles, like, you know, just to be here. Like, that's kind of how it feels like for Marchand too. Like, I will go, like, I will literally be the water boy. I need to go.
I think that was him. Or he said something like very similar.
Yeah, so like wanting to be there. And I mean, the way he's playing this year, he's certainly still up to that pace, the season he's having with the Bruins. And he did score, like I mentioned, in that first game against Sweden. We'll see. And he's obviously going to get a better reception in Boston than he did in Montreal with the booing. He's not going to get booed here. However, if you're a big Marchand fan, but you're from this area, you're rooting against him on Monday, or you're rooting against him every day that they're playing, especially if it's US-Canada in the final, which I am I am praying that's what we get. That's the ideal matchup for ratings and for everything. I think everyone that's buying those tickets is doing it with that in mind, US-Canada.
Yeah, I think that Monday afternoon game, Canada-Finland, I think it's going to be a very pro-Canada crowd, actually, because I think that's a lot of Canadian fans making the trip down. Now we'll see if the weather impacts that travel, but I had heard that that's where a lot of those tickets were going, were two Canada fans planning to make the trip to Boston for
that
game.
Well, yeah, I mean, Quebec is it's from Montreal. We did this drive last year. It's only about 5 hours to get here. I mean, today, who knows? But
five and a half, six. Yeah.
Yeah. And
with snow is probably like 10.
Yeah. With snow, you might get here tomorrow, maybe right before puck drop. But yeah, I mean, maybe. But if they're only going to the championship game, like, they don't have to travel today. And hopefully it's better Wednesday. Who knows? But yeah, it's going to be awesome to see what the actual makeup of the crowd is, because I'm expecting there's going to be plenty of Canadians that are coming.
I have a question. Are they repainting the ice for this?
They already did. Yeah, they did.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that.
Yeah, they had a whole montage of it before the tournament even started. They changed the ice. They took off the Bruins logo. They put the Four Nations logo on there. So, yeah, it's going to look different. It's going to be a very different feel than we're used to at TD Garden.
Yeah, they started all that right after the Beanpot Final on Monday. There's a little behind the scenes.
They had to bring up the Beanpot again.
There's actually a rush to get media out of there because they were literally starting work to turn everything over right after, that night. So quickly, so Elias Lindholm on Sweden, also playing a fourth-line role. He's been their fourth-line center. Obviously, he's not having the season in Boston that he would like. I'm sure when this tournament was announced, you know, about a year ago, he probably had dreams of playing higher up in Sweden's lineup. But if you look at, you know, just statistically, like, among Swedish forwards in the NHL this season, he's 12th in scoring. So fourth line, that is what you would expect. And, you know, I thought he played a good game against Canada. I mentioned this on the podcast, but they, as that game went on, he got some shifts against Canada's top six and was part of the effort to slow down guys like McDavid, MacKinnon, Crosby, and give Sweden a chance to come back and ultimately force overtime in that game. I will fully admit I didn't get a chance to watch all of Sweden-Finland yesterday.
Yeah, me neither.
I had other stuff going on, so statistically it doesn't look like he did a whole lot. He was a minus one, again, like 10 minutes of ice time.
I have a question for you before we go.
Okay.
Are you rooting for Canada tomorrow?
I don't know if I'm, like, I don't know how I'm going to feel sitting there watching it, but I want to see USA Canada on Thursday. So in that sense, yes, I am.
I'm rooting for Canada.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, you have to. I want that matchup so bad. I'll root for them for now, rooting for both teams now, and then when they play again, rooting for USA, but kind of need Canada to win to get there, so.
All right. We will be back next Sunday, 9 a.m., Four Nations will be over. We'll have a champion, and we'll also have a Bruins game. They return to play next Saturday, so we'll have that to react to as well. Andrew Raycroft will be in studio with us next week. Joe Weil coming up next. Thank you for listening.